Welcome to What's Next, Cornet Global's podcast that puts members on the microphone with thought-provoking, profession-shaping conversations and commentary.
Hi, this is Tim Venable of Cornet Global. Joining me today is Alon Snyder, Director of Impact at PrimeStore, a minority-owned and led real estate developer and investor with a 30-year history of developing and managing needs-based retail and housing in urban areas characterized by high demand and low supply. Before we begin, Alon, please introduce yourself a little further, and if you would, tell us more about your title, Director of Impact, and what that means.
Yeah, sure. Thanks, Tim, for having me. I'm excited to be here today. Like you said, my name is Alon Snyder, Director of Impact for PrimeStore. Been with the company for 6 years and run with a number of different positions of the company, understanding the asset management and acquisition side of the business. And in my time there, following my career trajectory and passion of sustainable development, it became clear to me through the vertical integration structure of the company that impact and a mission-driven company runs through the vein of every department here. And we weren't having anybody really focus throughout all of those departments on how to track, measure, and represent that impact. It was part of our day-to-day, it's part of our 30-year history, but there was no one collecting all of that. So once we started having some conversations, it became clear that there was a need for that, especially with the way that the world is moving with respect to standards of sustainability and compliance and regulation. So that's really how we came up with creating this position, Director of Impact. And that's been my background for the last decade or so, is focusing on sustainability and social and environmental impact.
Okay, fantastic. Hugely important topics, and glad to be talking with you today about those. So you mentioned sustainability. So tell us more about how PrimeStore views sustainability and how it plays a role in your community developments.
Yeah, the way that PrimeStore views sustainability, I think, is pretty unique. We're a real estate developer, so we work a lot in the built environment, but we also consider ourselves a community developer. And so sustainable development is the foundation of who we are. And sustainable development is not just the environmental process of building new buildings and what that means for a community, but it's how that development is really going to impact the quality of life and the social determinants of a community. It plays a critical role in the social and environmental justice components, which have driven PrimeStore's direction for 30 years. We are a company that focuses in equity and in repairing historical trauma of communities that have historically been neglected or excluded from the economy, from conversations, from infrastructure. And so we really approach every one of our developments trying to consider all of that and what the community needs. So we're always trying to think about what are the economic, environmental, and social considerations that our development needs to weave into the fabric of that community.
Okay, fantastic. Glad to hear that. So how much is the community itself involved in this process? Surely there must be some connection points there. Can you give some examples of how that works in practice?
Yeah, I definitely can. The community is an absolutely integral part of every project that we do. You know, more specifically, the public-private partnership projects that we focus on, where we're working with certain municipalities and local agencies. From the very beginning, we are coming into a community understanding that we are not the experts of that community and that we need to learn everything that we can, and we need to be guided by the members of the community that understand the history and the culture and, you know, like I mentioned before, potential traumas and triggers, so that we can be sensitive to our role with the project that we're delivering and intend to deliver. We never come in with a predetermined design. We try to come in with as much of a blank canvas as possible, understanding that we need to listen to deliver what's needed and not what we think is what's best or what's needed. That process typically starts with the design of what we call a steering committee for the project. And the steering committee is an approach that we take where we go out to a lot of the critical stakeholders in the community that have a lot of trust from community members and help guide our process of redevelopment. And that will be, you know, potentially members of faith-based institutions, parent-teacher associations, active local nonprofits that are well-known and the community trusts to deliver their desires for the project. From there, we'll go through a long process of stakeholder engagement where we invite all community members to collaboratively discuss with us a different topic. So each type of meeting might focus on a different topic. One might be, what are your environmental concerns? What kind of retail do you want to see in your community? Is it going to be more, you know, food and beverage focused? Is it going to be soft good retailers? Do we need to bring in a grocery store? A lot of the communities that we work in are in food deserts, and food security is a major issue. So that's a really important part. And then one thing that we often do, which we're really proud of, is weaving the community into the identity of the center to provide a sense of ownership of the project. We consider ourselves servicers of the community, and everything that we deliver is for the community and by the community. So we often do both a naming and branding engagement process where we, with a team of potentially designers and marketing teams with community members, arrive at a name and branding and logo that is truly representative of the community.
Okay, that all sounds great. So high degree of involvement and connectivity and soliciting input, that's fantastic. So now another topic related comes up along. So environmental, social, and governance. We hear a lot about that today. It's increasingly important in the business world today and in our society, of course. And you've already addressed the E part of ESG, you know, environmental and sustainability. But what about the S? You know, we're hearing more and more about the S in ESG these days, very important. So the social aspects. So how does this, including corporate social responsibility, factor into sustainable cities and communities?
Yeah, I think that the S can be a pretty tricky topic in ESG for a lot of companies to address. I do believe that that can be a factor and a result of the type of industry that you're in. If you don't have as much front-facing exposure to the community members, our projects in our industry and what we do happens to directly impact day-to-day individual members of communities. And so that's something that we have to be really conscious of. And it's in the S that has historically driven everything that Prime Store has done. The E for Prime Store has been embedded in the nature of the communities that we work in. We're developing in communities that have, you know, suffered historical zoning that has placed undesirable uses in these communities. So just by the merit of coming in and redeveloping those kinds of properties, we're already improving the urban environment of those communities. We're cleaning up soil, we're introducing greenscaping, and also now focusing on how we can actually develop with environmental sustainable certifications in mind in our projects. So that's just by the merit of being conscious developers, something that happens in the process. The S is a lot more intentional, and we have a lot of policies internally that focus on the economic development of a community, which is directly correlated with the S there. So when you think about social determinants of health that consider education levels, healthcare, food security, crime and poverty, the way that you approach a community with a project when you're a real estate developer, especially developing projects at the scale that we're developing, is thinking about how you can improve those situations. We often do local hiring policies, which we believe is critical to addressing the S there in local economic development. By providing local job access, you're creating a foundation of an opportunity to develop wealth within the community and enable self-representation of that community. We also intend typically to incubate local businesses and support local entrepreneurs, either in opening their first locations or expanding locations if they're interested. Often, you know, through the kind of work that we do with the steering committee I mentioned earlier, we look for other nonprofits that are locally involved to help support that development of those businesses and give them a place to operate and support them as much as needed. So I think that really provides a foundation of success and local economies that enables families and young people to stay local and to reinvest into their community and to focus inward and not have to leave their community to get everything that they need with respect to services and resources and amenities. And that's pretty critical to the development and advancement economically and socially.
Okay, excellent. Coming back now to a topic you touched on earlier, retail. We were talking about that just briefly. So shopping online has become a primary, even a preferred channel for many people as opposed to visiting a bricks and mortar retail store. And yet many retail chains continue to expand aggressively and build new physical locations, as you've talked about already. But from your perspective, are these underserved communities getting their fair share of new retail investments? So that's one question. And the other one is, if not, what does it really take to get more attention and investment from big retail chains in these underserved communities?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I think that is the key critical question that Prime Store has always grappled with in finding success in the business that we do. Because the answer shortly to that question is no. They are not getting their fair share of new retail investments. And the tricky thing is a typical investor might see it as a chicken and egg kind of situation where you're going to invest in areas that you think that your business is going to succeed. And that can be based on a number of factors, but typically is going to be driven by profit. And if you're investing in an area where you don't believe communities have the economic means to shop or purchase from your store and business, then you're not going to invest in that area because you don't feel that you will succeed. But I think that is an ill-perceived notion of a lot of these communities. These communities have a significant density to them, at least in the markets that we're in, focusing on urban infill and, you know, pretty major MSAs in the United States. And the households are pretty dense themselves individually. So you have a major concentration of purchasing power in these homes and in these communities. And you open the podcast by introducing Prime Store, and we focus, like you said, on areas characterized by high demand and low supply. So if you take a step back and just think about the supply-demand curve, the argument speaks for itself. Yet it still takes a lot of convincing and a lot of data-driven analysis to prove out to a lot of retailers that they will succeed there. We've been doing this for 30 years. We've successfully brought some major national retailers to these communities that historically would not go there. You know, tenants like Ross and Dee's and Marshall's and certain grocery stores, financial institutions. We've successfully brought them in, opened them. And in a lot of cases, the ones in our portfolio are some of their best performing stores in the country. So I think what it takes to get more investment is the open-mindedness to really look at the data, understand the supply and demand that these communities really don't have, but not only need, but want to have that presence at home and not have to leave and drive however long, or not even drive, take public transportation, because some of them don't even own their own vehicles and leave their community, but rather to stay local, shop local, reinvest those tax dollars into the community, and have a place to also interact socially with other members of the community. So when you think and are able to understand that social dynamic and social fabric and how that plays in to successful operations, then I think you start to get that. You know, one of the shining examples that we have is a center that we opened in Watts here in South Los Angeles, which the early 90s had the Watts riots, the Los Angeles riots, and Rodney King riots that were pretty traumatic for Los Angeles as a whole. But Watts is where all that began. We opened a center there that not only brought in a grocer, which that was a food desert for many, many years. We also have put in a bank there, and we brought in a full service Nike store that does immensely well. And it's a community store. And it really is to the culture and history of that community. And the line when that store opened was around the corner. So it doesn't always have to be these dollar stores or these discount stores or off-price retailers. There's room and opportunity for higher-end product to come in and succeed when there's nothing else around it.
Well, that's a great, great story, great illustration there about Nike and these other companies. So, you know, there's tremendous potential, it sounds like, in these underserved communities if companies will just take a close look.
Absolutely. And yeah, you know, I understand that it's uncomfortable and that it's new and that they might not understand it, but I believe that working with the right people to study it and go there and see for yourself and experience it and talk to the local officials and agencies and stakeholders, I do believe that there's a clear, strong case to be made.
Excellent. So my next question, I think personally, the case can be made that sustainable, socially conscious development, such as we're talking about here today, is part of the foundation for a more equitable society. That sounds like something really important to Prime Store. So I'd just be curious to get your thoughts on that.
Yeah, I mean, you're preaching to the choir here. This is everything that I have been studying, preaching, and doing for the last many years now. And I wholeheartedly believe in that. In my opinion, you know, this is a phrase that's been used often, is society moves as fast as its slowest members. And I believe that globally this happens, but especially in this country, we have done a disservice to specific populations of people in the exclusion of opportunity. And it's just logical that when we are trying to develop as a society and advance forward, we need to take care of everybody. And if we are continuing to not take care and not pay attention to certain communities and populations, entire populations of people, that we are going to constantly be trying to plug those holes that are sinking the ship. And until we build a ship without holes, we're not going to be able to sail. And so there's a lot of conversation, especially after, you know, everything happened with George Floyd in 2020, about things like ESG, which has become a pretty controversial term over the last couple of years and very politicized, which I believe is pretty unfortunate because they are terms, environmental, social, and governance, that shouldn't be political terms, right? They should be just the foundation of how we think about doing business and developing society, not just in real estate, but in every component. I mean, I believe that they should be a reflection of the United Nations Sustainable Development Goals, which are a really holistic approach to the development of society. They were built off of the Millennium Goals. And, you know, the definition of sustainable development is meeting the needs of today without sacrificing the needs of future generations. So sustainability also itself doesn't have to be conflated with being a tree hugger and being so environmentally conscious that we can't do anything. But I do believe that there needs to be a cultural movement to consider socially conscious development, especially at the local economic level, you know, building off of everything we just talked about with respect to buying into these communities. It takes proper allocation of resources to lift those communities up so that we're able to properly and equitably distribute everything that is funneling through the social fabric of our society.
Outstanding. Okay. Now we come to my last question, Alon, and it's a topic you've touched on already, but I wanted to just wrap up and conclude by giving you one more opportunity to address this topic. And here's the question. Can companies truly do well financially by doing good?
Yeah, that's the key question there. And I think that's one that I get asked a lot in the industry, by friends, by family. You know, we're always saying here at Prime Store that we do well by doing good. And there's something to that. I don't think that right now that is an easy yes. It takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of reflection. It takes a lot of humility. And it takes a lot of research to really understand how investing human capital, financial capital, social capital will return on your dollar, right? And, you know, there's a lot of conversations these days with respect to, you know, double bottom line, triple bottom line, people, planet, profit. And I wholeheartedly, obviously believe that there's a lot to that and that you can succeed in that approach. But I don't believe that every industry is ripe for that change right now. I do think that there need to be two major movements for every company to be able to get there. And that's a cultural movement, which I do believe is underway. I mean, you see how Gen Z is influencing a lot of corporate approaches to sustainability by essentially voting with their wallets in certain ways, choosing to buy from conscious companies, whether socially or environmentally conscious. That's pretty influential. And if culturally as a society, we can really continue to put that pressure on, then you'll begin to see that ROI as a company doing well by doing good. I also think that there's another economic side of it that I think we're a lot further away from than the cultural side. And that's really the pricing of externalities in what we shop for. And that essentially means working into the price, the whole cost of a product. So if you're developing a product that extracts natural resources from halfway across the world, it's coming up with an accounting method to work in the cost of the entire supply chain to get to that product. And potentially the much harder to quantify negative impact of the creation of that product. That's a huge undertaking. But when we talk about climate change and emissions and loss of biodiversity and deforestation and labor conditions and all these massive issues that are all part of one another, and we as a consumer capitalist society are not actually paying for that, who and what is? So until we're able to find some kind of economic solution to that, I think that will actually really incentivize the companies that do good in doing well.
Okay, fantastic, Alon. That's a really strong point to conclude on with some really powerful and challenging thoughts for our listeners. It's been great talking with you today. I must say I'm really impressed with Prime Store and with you individually, and great to talk to you today and learn more about what you're doing. I appreciate your time today and sharing these helpful insights with Cornet Global.
Thanks, Tim. It's always great to be part of the conversation and share the hard work that we're doing here every day. It's something we're really proud of.
This concludes this episode of What's Next. Want to record a podcast of your own? Have an idea or point of view you'd like to share? Visit cornetglobal.org to learn more.